Good morning, and welcome in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to see the church gathered for worship, and I pray that what we do here and when we leave the doors and go back into the world, we will be prepared to live lives for Christ's honor. I am glad that our folks who attended the Mo Ranch Music Conference last week have returned safely, and I understand that it was a very good event. One of the noises that I always enjoy, although I didn't hear it quite as loud today, but oftentimes before the bell rings, there's just all kinds of chatter going on in here. And that's great. And I do hope that once the benediction is said and the organ has done its prelude, that the chatter will start again and you will visit with one another. But it's also helpful if you find somebody in the sanctuary whose face you don't know well or somebody you don't know, that'd be a good person to go chatter with for a little bit as well. Please take the ritual of friendship pads and pass them down the pews and give the information there. If you're visiting with us, we're delighted that you are here. I would remind the session that we are meeting tonight at 6 p.m. And though it is summer, it's always an important meeting. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Okay, with that said, don't light any candles at the back yet because I'm going to need a couple of minutes here. But I have a friend in this church. Actually, I think everybody in this church is a friend, but this person keeps me up to date as to the religious affairs that are going around the nation and the world, and they faithfully bring me the belief section of the Houston Chronicle every week. I give thanks for that. But a couple of weeks ago, the headline in the belief section was this: the Old Testament, is it dying? And below the headline was a picture, of course, of Carlton Heston holding up the Ten Commandments as he's playing Moses. And the subtitle of the report says, "Scholar argues contemporary Christians are losing biblical fluency." And scholar Brent Strawn, professor of Old Testament at Emory University, he compares the Old Testament particularly to a language that's being forgotten, like Latin. It was used so much back in the early parts of the 100s, 400s, 600s, used in the church. But as time went by and languages developed, people began to lose Latin, so much so that nobody knows Latin anymore. And we are at the mercy of the scholars who say they know Latin to interpret some of those old texts for us, and we need to know it for ourselves. This is where you come in. We need Sunday school teachers, and we need students. Our education building on Sunday morning is a wonderful structure that this church built some 17 years ago. And that building is rather vacant on Sunday morning. There are some people running around there. This fall, our children will be learning about Adam and Eve in the garden. They'll be learning about Ruth, King David, Isaiah, and Jonah. And when I saw the lessons for this fall, I wondered just how much the Westminster Presbyterians know about these stories that their children are going to be learning about. So I devised a little test in your bulletin. Have you found it yet? Do you have it in front of you? I am sorry, but I'm going to take the time to see if you know the answers to these questions. Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to give me an answer. But just in your own mind, think of what the answer is, and you might circle the number or check it. Just keep up with how many of those that you do not know. Okay, I'm not going to make you say anything. But question number one, are you ready? What did the serpent tell Eve to convince her to eat the forbidden fruit? I'll let you get by with one of two answers. One answer is, you will not die. And the other one is, but you will be like God. Either one of those, you can count it right. Who was Ruth's mother-in-law? Oh, we got it, Naomi, of course. Who was Ruth's husband? Ruth's husband, are you ready, was Chilion. Of course, he died, and then later she married Boaz. You may have heard the name Boaz. Ruth was the mother of Obed. Ruth and Boaz were the parents of Obed. Who was Obed's son who became the father of King David? Jesse? I hear answers. I'm so pleased. What two books of the Bible tell of the life of King David? 1 and 2 Samuel. Hannah made a promise to God if she could give birth to a son. What was that promise? She would give him back to God. Who was the king in Israel when Samuel anointed David to be king of Israel? Saul. Gosh, that's great. Y'all are doing good. In what army was Goliath the champion when they challenged the Israelites? Pardon me? The old Philistines. Which son of King Saul was David's best friend? Jonathan? Good. Okay. This is the tricky one here. Who appeased David's anger from the hostility of her husband? Her quick thinking kept a battle from breaking out between David and Nabal. We had Abigail. I heard an Abigail. Got it. Okay. To what city did David take the Ark of the Lord? The city of David. Oh, where else? Jerusalem, where it found its home. True or false? David was prevented from building a house to the Lord. Yeah, his son Solomon built it. To what city was Jonah called to pronounce judgment? Nineveh. To what city did Jonah flee? He went down to Joppa, and there he caught a ship to Tarshish. How many days was Jonah trapped in the belly of a big fish? I'll give you a sign. As Jonah was in the belly of the big fish, so will the Son of Man. Well, y'all did pretty good. I'm proud of you. But the simple fact is, we need to have the Christian education program filled with people on Sunday morning, not only for our sake of studying God's Word together and teachers to teach it, but also when you have visitors come on Sunday morning and they see a vibrant church gathered to learn God's Word, it just does a little better job for evangelism. It's all intertwined. And I know there are people who are saying, but the kids just drive me bananas if I teach. But the truth of the matter is, it's God who will be with you. But the two excuses I hear most for not teaching Sunday school. I'm retired. I've done it before. Let the young people do it. Or I've got three kids at home. I am as busy as I can be. I don't have time for it. Let the retired folks do it because they have the time. And who is left to teach and be with the children? Okay, you've had your lecture for today. But the reason that I am right now teaching a class on church history, we will be moving through the Reformation during this time. We remember the tithes of Martin Luther this fall and the 500th anniversary of his nailing those 95 theses. And then after that, I'm going to go through get back to the Bible, although with Luther you have to get back to the Bible, but get back to the Bible and do the life of Christ. But you know the main reason why I wanted to do a class on church history? To help me relearn it. Nobody learns more than the teacher. And if you want to learn, then start teaching. Would you do something for me? If you would take that test, you can wad it up and throw it away. I don't know what you want to do with it. But I think it would be really neat if you tore off the bottom of it and on the back side, write your name and say, yes, I'll attend Sunday school this fall, or I'll be glad to teach, or I'll fill in somewhere. And then take that as your offering and place it in the offering plate when it's passed. But gang, I'm looking forward to a very successful and wonderful fall. Debbie. Well, what we're planning is well, you know the problem. Yes, I'll teach Sunday school, and then somewhere in the year, 2035, you think, I was just going to teach it for a while, and now I've been teaching it for, you do the math. We're really just asking people to teach a month at a time and do a rotation. All right. Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts. Oh, another announcement. That's fine.
They drove the golf carts, and they didn't ask to come back, and they did everything. Jacob was the technical guru and the recording master, and Johnny took care of the little ladies, and he just made sure everything got done. And they were so wonderful, they even asked to come back by the next conference director. So you've been well represented. But I want to ask Noble and Josie and Joe, are you here? Joe? Okay, are any of the girls here? Okay, Joe's going to represent them. Would you all come up here real quick? You don't have to dance and sing or anything.
Thank goodness.
What I'd like you to do, because I'd just like you to just go to the microphone if they can hear you, you don't have to yell or anything, and just tell us your favorite thing about Mo Ranch, about the conference, and make something that you learned. But y'all all stand together for you to hear. But what, just one at a time. Would
you go first.
Tell us what you like the best.
I like the worship service.
Why?
Because it everybody was participating in. Yeah.
We have one every day, so we'll five. Excellent.
Everything.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh. Well, tell them about the youth activities, maybe. What you do?
We did drum circle, where I had a maraca solo.
So he will be our maracas from now on. Okay, excellent. Joe, what'd you like?
I like drumming.
You like drumming? So we're going to have to give you a drum solo, too.
You're taller than the rest.
Yeah. Okay. And what was your favorite part? You told me in the car. What's your favorite part?
Swimming.
absolutely. Well, thank you all for supporting these young people. They did learn a lot. They just can't go. But they did learn a lot, and they're wonderful young people, and they were favorites. There were two big youth and children's groups there, and people just kept telling me, oh, your kids are great. So thank you, parents, and thank you, teachers, sex school teachers, for forming them. Did you want to say something?
Yes, one thing to what Steve was saying earlier, Noble reminded me that he studied and sang Latin again this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay, excellent. Wonderful. And something that I did tell you that I need to show you next week, I'm going to go wear my t-shirt, but Michelle designed the logo. And everybody kept up saying, we want that t-shirt. Best logo ever. They just all went crazy. So Michelle, you made the time for it. Okay. Thank you, kids.
Thank you.
Proud of you.
Thank you, Jill. Okay, as we prepare our hearts for bulletin, I would invite an usher to come forward and give me a copy of the bulletin. So let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the worship of Almighty God.
Good morning. Psalm 98 tells us to sing a new song for the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. And I invite all of you to join me in the call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise, he is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Our Heavenly Father, as you called Abraham and Sarah, you call us to embark on a journey of faith. We stand before you, ready to hear your call and to follow where you lead. For you have claimed us by your mercy and set before us eternal promises in Jesus Christ, with whom we live to give you all glory in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Hear the word from Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Looking to God, who in Jesus Christ forgives, let us lift our voices to confess our sin using the prayer found in the bulletin. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, your face is hidden from us by our sin, and we forget your mercy in the blindness of our hearts. Cleanse us from all your offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires. With lowliness and meekness may we draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son.
Lord, have mercy.
For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of our God on our behalf. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
And now may we honor God as we give to him his tithes and our offerings. Be seated. Lord God, we read in Genesis of the wonder of your creation and the bounty you provide. May our hearts always be filled with gratitude for your provision, and we pray you will accept this offering as a commitment of our lives and our resources to complete your purpose on the earth, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Psalter comes from Psalm 119, and it will be read responsively. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. O that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me.
How can those people keep their way pure, by guarding according to your word?
With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. With my lips, I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since, as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and counsel one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The church is one found.
Amen. Please be seated. There I was, sitting by the spring, waiting and praying that God would send the right woman and that I would have the wisdom to know from all the women that would come to the spring, which one, if any of them, is the one that God has chosen. There was no room for mistake. I had to be certain. Everything hung in the balance. Perhaps I should introduce myself. My name is Eliezer of Damascus. I am the chief steward of my boss's household. You may have never heard of me, but you have heard of my boss, Abraham, who at the time of my travels had suffered great heartbreak. Not long before my departure, his wife, Sarah, died. They had been married for over 100 years, and many of you know the pain to live with your best friend for most of your life, and suddenly they are taken away. No matter what anyone says or does, you feel the loss. You feel alone. Abraham had experienced life with Sarah. They grew up together as children in Ur of the Chaldeans. As newlyweds, they traveled with their father to Terah to a place called Haran. From Haran, Abraham and Sarah were called to the land of Canaan, where Abraham and Sarah lived and enjoyed God's blessing, and through them, all the nations of the earth were to be blessed. A huge responsibility, to say the least. I thought God had blessed Abraham greatly. He was a rich man, yet he and Sarah, throughout most of their lives, wondered about this blessing. For more than riches, they wanted a child. But that's another story. You should know that story, by the way. It's the story of when Abraham and Sarah were advanced in years, well past the years of having children, and miraculously they had a child, and they named him Isaac, which means laughter, which is a good name. For when you become parents in your 90s, you only have two choices. You can either laugh or you can cry. Abraham and Sarah chose to laugh. But now, close to the end of his own life, and following Sarah's death, my boss, who is also a dear friend, who is well over 140 years old, had one more task. He had to find a suitable wife for his son Isaac, one to carry on the blessing. And of all people, I was given this frightening duty of finding a wife for Isaac. Abraham called me into his presence. He explained how important it was I find a wife for his son, not from the people of Canaan, not from there, but from his own land, where he lived in Syria. It wasn't called Syria at the time, but I had to find a wife for Isaac from Abraham's household. I wondered why Abraham didn't settle for one of the women of Canaanite. The land was filled with young, beautiful women who could have many children. Abraham didn't really give me an explanation. I thought it had something to do with the pagan practices of the people who lived in Canaan. But you'll find that the people who lived up there in Syria could be just as pagan. But I dared not quiz my boss. I was simply to obey. I said, "Boss, if we cannot choose a wife from the women of Canaan, can I at least take Isaac with me to the land of your people and he can choose his own wife? I bet you, I know, he would like to have a say in the matter." Abraham was unyielding. "My son is not to travel with you. This is his place. This is his home. This land of Canaan is where God called us to be. Now swear to me that you will go to my people and find a wife for my son Isaac." And that was the end of the conversation. I made a solemn oath. I left on a journey with my men and a caravan of camels, 10 camels in all. We set out for Naharim, and eventually made our way to the little village of Nahor. I knew this village would be a good place to start, for I remember Abraham once talked about his brother Nahor, and this village, named for Abraham's brother, would be filled with prospective brides. When we arrived, I was hot, tired. I smelled like a camel, and I was as thirsty as the camels. We had covered many miles since our last drink. I was about to get a drink from the spring outside of town when I thought, this is the hour of the evening when the women of the town will be coming to get water for the next morning. And I looked up to heaven and I prayed to God of Abraham and asked him to make me successful and to show kindness to my boss, Abraham. And I thought of a sign. I said, Lord, here I am standing by this cool, clear spring. And I will wait here until the women of the town come. And I am going to approach the young women when they come down and let their jars into the spring. And I'm going to ask them for a drink. And if one says, here, have a drink. And while you drink, I will water your camels. Now, of course, that's killing two birds with one stone, isn't it? Especially if you understand just how much water a camel can drink. A thirsty camel can drink more in 10 minutes than I can drink in 10 days. And I have 10 camels to water. Before I finished the prayer, there came a young woman with a jar for water. She was the first one to the spring. And I hurried to meet her with her jar of water at the spring. Now think for a minute once again, as your pastor's already mentioned, if you were a young woman, and some of you are, what would you do if a total stranger who was hot, dirty from days of travel, and smelled like a camel hurried towards you? What would you do? I trotted toward this woman, and she did not turn and run. But she saw the needs of a weary traveler. When I asked her, will you give me a little water? I praised God for her answer. She said, of course. Here, take all the water you need. And while you rest, I'll water your camels also. If that's not a sign from God, I don't know what is. My first thought was, what a woman. This woman gave me a cool drink from her jar, and then she proceeded to empty the jar of water into a watering trough. She lowered the jar into the spring over and over and emptied cool water into the trough. My camels began to drink and drink, and then they drank some more. I lost count how many times she patiently filled her jar and kept filling the trough with cool water for those 10 camels. I believe using your measurements, a thirsty camel can drink up to 20 gallons of water. Now multiply that times 10 camels, and you get what? 300 gallons of water. Okay, I'm not very good at math. If you want to know how much it was, you figure it out for yourselves. When the camels had drunk to their full, I rewarded this young woman. I gave her a golden nose ring. A golden nose ring. It was beautiful on her. I even asked your pastor if I could bring nose rings for all the women of the congregation this morning as a gift, but he thought that might not be a good idea. I guess fashions change over the years. I don't see anybody with nose rings this morning. I gave the woman a nose ring and I gave her two golden bracelets. The woman hesitated to receive these valuable gifts, but I assured her that my boss would want her to have them. She told me her name was Rebecca. Her father was Bethuel, which means house of God. I figured that this guy, Rebecca's father, was Abraham's nephew. He had died, and Milcah, Rebecca's mother, was still living. I was saddened that Rebecca's father was deceased, but I was overjoyed that my mission looked like it was going to be a great success, and I bowed down to God and began to pray. And as I prayed, Rebecca ran home to her mother and told her all about the encounter. Before long, Rebecca's brother Laban showed up. I'm not sure you would like Laban. He had seen the rich gifts I gave his sister, and he came to meet me. Laban had made arrangements for me and my men to stay the night. His servants invited us into their home, washed our feet, and pledged a banquet before us. Since Rebekah's father was dead, Laban had become the head of the household. And I know it's hard to keep all the names and relations straight, but keep in mind, Rebekah and Laban are brother and sister. Their deceased father, Bethuel, was Abraham's nephew. Laban and Rebekah had heard stories of their great uncle Abraham. They heard how he left his family and lands in Haran so many years ago, and they wanted to know all about what had happened to good old Uncle Abe and Aunt Sarah. So they were excited to learn of Abraham. As a matter of fact, I refused to eat until I had the opportunity to tell them about my boss and about my mission. I told them how the Lord had abundantly blessed Abraham. I told them of Abraham's wealth, of Abraham's cattle and herds of sheep, of his silver and his gold. He had many servants, and he had camels, and he had donkeys. And then I told them of Abraham's grief, for Sarah had died at the youthful age of 127. I told them of my mission to find a wife for Isaac from among my boss's people, and how God answered my prayer at the spring when I found Rebekah. And that Rebekah had won my heart. And I am sure she will win the heart of Isaac if she is allowed to come back with me to marry Isaac. Now, before I go on, I notice your pastor gave you a little quiz this morning. He limited his questions to those part of our history that pertain to what your children will be studying this fall. And in case he makes this quiz thing before worship a ridiculous habit, I wanted to warn you about Laban and make sure you make the connection between my story and finding a wife for Isaac and later Isaac's son finding his own wife. I hope there will be no future quizzes, but just in case, so you know, as the evening progressed, I got to know Laban better. He was not a man to be trusted. If given a chance, he would try to deceive someone for his own selfish cause. I say this because he seemed more interested in Abraham's wealth than in Abraham himself. And he also seemed more interested in the gifts I had brought with me than caring about what happened to his sister. So when he gave his blessing for Rebekah to marry Isaac, he asked that we stay 10 nights. I didn't want to push my luck and stay with him a minute longer than I had to, so I simply said, "We must be on our way. Our master Abraham is getting quite old, and we don't want him to wait." Well, they asked Rebekah if she would go with us, because you need to understand, it was the custom that if the girl's father was dead, she was actually the one to give permission to marry, and she said she would come with us. Thankfully, she agreed. I only mention this for you should remember that Isaac and Rebekah had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And the day came when Jacob had to flee Esau, and Jacob ended up like me in Laban's house, where he falls in love with Laban's daughter, Rachel. And as you know the story, where Laban tried to trick me to stay and work around the farm for another 10 days, he tricked Jacob into staying for 14 years. I knew I couldn't trust Laban, so we departed Nahor as soon as we could and traveled with Rebekah back to Canaan. When we arrived in Canaan, the first person we saw was who you guessed it. It was Isaac. It was no surprise, for you can imagine how eager he was to see his future bride. He wanted to make sure that I picked out someone beautiful. You know how guys are. Okay. Every day since our departure, Isaac walked into the field to meditate, but I suspect he was going to the field to keep watch on the road, anxious for our return. And to shorten the account of my trip and the whole story, here are the words that end the story. So Rebekah became Isaac's wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Now, I hope you don't mind if I take a few moments to expound on at least one part of the story, for after all, this is a sermon and not just story time to put you to sleep at night. I want you to consider Rebekah. Oh, she was a beautiful bride, but her beauty came not from outward appearance. It came from within. Some of the ugliest people I know in life are outwardly attractive, both men and women. And I don't have to tell you, you know those who use people to get what they want. They don't care who they hurt or how much they hurt others, as long as they can remain in power, increase their wealth and the wealth of their friends. And then there are the beautiful people who can see a hot, tired, camel-smelling, thirsty stranger and not only give them water, but go the extra mile, allowing the stranger to rest while she waters their camels. I was sitting, you may have seen me, on the front pew this morning when one of your members, Johnny, I believe your name is, Johnny. Johnny read one of the best rules of living I think I've heard. That was a beautiful passage you read. We didn't have that in my days. But the words, I think, sum up the teachings of Jesus, who, by the way, is the blessing by whom our boss Abraham and his wife Sarah blessed all the nations. These are the words I heard earlier Johnny reading. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'd like to meet this Jesus. If you encounter a camel-smelling, thirsty stranger, I understand, one cannot, in the name of Jesus, run away in fright. All they can do is express God's love by giving the water. That water may come in giving food and drink to a stranger. That water may come in digging wells in villages that have no clean water or providing purified water by other means. Friends, I lived in a day of superstition where no one knew anything about the wonders of the scientific world. But you in the 21st century are blessed with knowledge we never even dreamed of, didn't think it was possible. And you realize you live in a time when many, if not most, maybe all of your children and children's children just may suffer from the effects of a warming planet. And one cannot, in the name of Jesus, just ignore the problem, especially if your technology can keep the worst from happening. And if you know someone who does not understand the grace of God, the love in Jesus Christ, you cannot just walk away leaving them in darkness, but you have to share with them through the wonder of God's Holy Spirit any way you can through love and word to enlighten them. Word and deed, I believe, was spoken. For there are countless circumstances you will face where you can and will talk and act in the name of Jesus Christ to those who are lost. Are you ready for the task? Dear woman, will you give me a drink? Of course. Drink to your fill, and I will water your camels also. In all that you do, in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. Will you please join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for those people throughout all history who inspire us to live to your glory. On this day, we remember your servant, Rebecca, who graciously met a hot, thirsty, dirty stranger and drew water for him and his camels. Though we may not meet anyone with this description, we know we meet people every day in need of your grace, and we humbly pray you will so fill us with your Holy Spirit that we will be agents to meet human need in the name of Jesus Christ. We also pray you will allow us the honor of participating in your mission in the world, for you have blessed us with riches. And most of the people who are actually dying from the effects of poverty and war and disease are so very far away from where we sit. So give us generous hearts to support the work of those who minister where the action is taking place. Yet, here in our own community, we come face to face with people who need someone to show them the love in the name of Christ. And we are your people. We know your love. Give us courage to share with the stranger, the alien, the elderly, the children, those who are ill, and those without hope. By your Holy Spirit, aid us in our witness to those we meet in our professional, business, social, and family lives. And by your Holy Spirit, join us together as your church to work together to bring hope. We pray for children in our community who are neglected, who are hungry and abused, who have no role model to inspire them or to be challenged by learning and education. We pray that we might meet in them a need. And in the name of Jesus Christ, in word and in deed, do something. We pray for other servants in our community who are ill in body, that you will help them overcome their sickness and bring them the health that they might enjoy what you've called them to do. We always pray for peace in our land and in our world, and we pray that you will make us instruments of your peace. We pray for the people of this land that we will be able to look beyond politics and personal comforts and realize the habits we must change and the technology that must be developed to keep this earth a glorious place for all our children, grandchildren, and for generations to come to enjoy. And as we remember people about whom we have special concerns, we lift up their names before you, and the response of the church will be, Lord, hear our prayers. 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 Please join me as we pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we've mentioned before, I know when we do our prayers like that, sometimes you can't hear the name. As a matter of fact, I would almost swear I heard somebody say Rocky Marciano today. I don't think they did. But the idea is that I think God heard the names. Will you please stand with me and let us say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord God, now dismiss us with your blessing that we might go forth to honor our Savior Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with each one of us, both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.